by Poison Control Center. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the country, bringing you local radio productions of national interest. This program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. This week's producer was me. I'm Greta Anderson from Pacifica Radio. Thank you for listening and see you next week on Sprouts.
Come over here, to the right-hand speaker.
KBOO's Book and Record Sale is happening August 13th at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Coot Street, starting at noon. Find treasures amongst the stacks of donated items while raising money for KBOO, your very own community radio station.
Friction between the stylus and the record produces a force which makes the arm try to swing towards the record center.
Again, that's KBOO's Book and Record Sale, Saturday, August 13th from noon to 7 p.m. at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Coot Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I'm now standing in the center, and my voice should be located precisely midway between the speakers.
The music playing is Interstellar Dub by DJ Mad from Portland label Zam Zam Sounds, and this is Art Focus on KBOO Radio. I'm your host, Andre Middleton. Today we are having a call-in show so that you can share your latest art projects and art events with our KBOO audience. The number to call our studio line is 503-231-8187. But first up, some local art news. This past Friday, I went to the New Space Center for Photography and checked out their current exhibit, Our City in Stereo, by Sherita Town. This exhibit is a culmination of a residency collaboration between the New Space Center for Photography and C3 Initiative to provide an artist with fun, space, and time to produce a new body of work on the topic of gentrification here in Portland. Sherita Town's project combines the old medium of stereo views with stereo interviews to explore the topic of gentrification, relying heavily on community collaboration and input. An interactive installation invites visitors to engage with stereographs in different forms and listen and contribute to their own experiences of the changes to their immediate surroundings. It is an amazing show. She uses the space in a wonderful way in order to engage with her audience on multiple levels, from wall projections to old press clippings to a timeline that creatively and succinctly illustrates the web of factors that have had a disparate impact on historically majority communities of color. In my opinion, this is a must-see exhibit on display at the New Space Center Photography now through October 1st. And some other art news, the Oregon Community Foundation is offering small arts and culture grants to support small community-driven arts and culture organizations statewide. One-year grants of $1,000 to $5,000 will be available to arts and culture organizations with operating budgets under $100,000. That shouldn't be too hard for a lot of people. Funds are being allocated to each of Oregon's 8 regions based on the number of arts organizations and population. Please go visit the Oregon Community Foundation website today to learn more. The deadline to apply for these grants is September 1st, so that's coming up. The folks over at the Portland Institute of Contemporary Art are pleased to announce that they will be beginning to accept online applications for submissions for the round 4 of the grant-making cycle of the Precipice Award Funds on Monday, August 15th, 2016, with a deadline of Friday, October 4th. Friday, October 14th. Grant recipients will be announced in early December, 2016. Projects proposed in round 4 must take place between January 1 and December 1 of 2017. I'm a big fan of PICA, and I've had several previous Precipice Award winners as guests right here in Art Focus, so this is legit. Please go visit the PICA website to learn more. Today, we are trying something new. I sent the word out yesterday and this morning that I was going to have a call-in show. That's right. I need you to call in and tell me and the Art Focus audience what project you're working on these days and what events, exhibitions are going on over the next month or so. Today, my show is your show. So please give me a call at 503-231-8187. And make sure we got to keep it clean. I got a dump button and a cough button right here to make sure that we keep it clean. Don't want the FCC coming down on me. To get the ball rolling, I'm going to share a couple events that I've noticed on my travels around town. Invisible Spectrum Stories, Portland's newest storytelling event, which features storytellers of color. They intend to celebrate stories of color in the whitest city in America because they believe in celebrating diversity and representing the underrepresented. September 3rd, location to be determined. Find Invisible Spectrum Stories on Facebook to learn more. Also coming up, we've got the Festival of All Cultures, Saturday, August 20th at Irvington Schoolyard, which is located at 1320 Northeast Brazee from 11 to 9. It's a free summer fun entertainment event for the entire family. 10 bands representing cultures from all over the world, including Ghana, Cuba, Mexico, USA, Jamaica, and Guinea. Tons of activities for kids, storytelling, and art music. So that pretty much sums up what I'm looking for. Tell me about your exhibit. Tell me about an event. I want you to share what you've got going on with our community. So you probably are wondering, well, what is Arnie going to do between the phone calls? Well, I asked myself that very same question earlier today. I'm going to be reading from the book Things Fall Apart by Chinua Achebe. These phones are now open. So please give me a call. Share some of that art news because this is a call-in show. So it's not going to work unless you call in. Once again, the phone number is 503-231-8187. So I'm cracking open the book until we get that first phone call. And once again, I'll be reading selections from Things Fall Apart. Okonwo was well known throughout the nine villages and even beyond. His fame rested on solid personal achievements. As a young man of 18, he had brought honor to his village by throwing Amalins the cat. Amalins was the great wrestler who for 7 years was unbeaten from Amufia to Mabimino. He was called the cat because his back would never touch the earth. It was this man that Okonwo threw in a fight, which the old man agreed was one of the fiercest since the founder of their town engaged a spirit of the wild for 7 days and seven nights. The drums beat, and the flutes sang, and the spectators held their breath. Amalins was the wily craftsman, but Okonwo was as slippery as a fish in the water. Every nerve and every muscle stood out on their arms and on their backs, on their thighs, and one almost heard them stretching to the breaking point. But in the end, Okonwo threw the cat. That was many, many years ago. 20 years or more. And during that time, Okonwo's fame had grown like a brush fire in the Harmattan. He was a tall and huge. His bushy eyebrows and wide nose gave him a very severe look. He breathed heavily, and it was that when he slept, his wives and children in their houses could hear him breathe. When he walked, his heels hardly touched the ground, and he seemed to walk on springs, as if he was going to pounce on somebody. And he did pounce on people quite often. He had a slight stammer, and whenever he was angry, he could not get his words out quickly enough, he would use his fist. He had no patience with unsuccessful men. He had no patience with his father. Anoka, for that was his father's name, had died 10 years ago. In his day, he was lazy and improvident. He was quite incapable of thinking about tomorrow. If any money came his way, and it was seldom that it did, he immediately bought gourds of palm wine, called round his neighbors, and made merry. He always said that whenever he saw a dead man's mouth, he saw the folly of not eating what once was in it his own lifetime. Anoka was, of course, a debtor. He owed every neighbor some money, from a few cowries to a quite substantial amount. He was tall but very thin, and he had a slight stoop. He wore a haggard and mournful look, except when he was drinking or playing his flute. He was very, very good on his flute, and his happiest moments was when, 2 or 3 moons after the harvest, when the village musicians brought down their instruments, hung above the fireplace. Onuku would play with them, his face beaming with the blessed and peace. Sometimes, another village would ask Onuku's band to, and their dancing iguguru, to come and stay with them and teach them their tunes. They would go to such hosts for as long as 3 or 4 markets, making music and feasting. Onuku loved the good fare and the good fellowship, and he loved this season for the year when the rains had stopped and the sun rose every morning with the dazzling beauty. And it was not too hot either, because the cold and dry Harmattan wind was blowing down from the north. Some years the Harmattan was very severe, and a dense haze hung on the atmosphere. Old men and children would sit around log fires warming their bodies. Onuka loved it all, and he loved the first kites that returned with the dry season, and the children who sang songs of welcome to them. He would remember his own childhood, how he had often wandered around looking for kites sailing leisurely against the blue sky. As soon as he found one, he would sing with his whole being, welcoming it back to its long, long journey, from its long, long journey, and asking it if it had brought home any lengths of cloth. Well, so far, that is just the first passage from Things Fall Apart. And this is Andre Middleton, and I'm here at the KBOO Studios expecting a call or two from the listeners who are involved in the art scene. If you have an exhibition, a gallery show, if you've got a reading, if you've got a poetry reading, if you've got a band, a concert that's coming up, if you know of an event that you need the community to hear about, today is your opportunity. Today is your chance. Give me a call. The number here is 503-231-8187. I'm going to keep reading, so here I go. Well, that was years ago when he was young. Onuka, the grown-up, was a failure. He was poor, and his wife and children had barely enough to eat. People laughed at him because he was a loafer, and they swore never to lend him any more money because he never paid it back. But Onuka was such a man that he always succeeded in borrowing more and piling up his debts. One day, a neighbor called Okio came in to see him. He was reclining on a mud bed in his hut playing on the flute. He immediately rose and shook hands with the man, who then unrolled the goatskin which he carried under his arm and sat down. Onuka went into the inner room and soon returned with a small wooden disc containing kola nut, some alligator pepper, and a lump of white chalk. "I have the kola," he announced when he sat down and passed the disc over to his guest. "Thank you. He who brings the kola to life. But I think you ought to break it," replied Okoye, passing back the disc. "No, it is for you, I think." They argued like this for a few moments before Onuka accepted the honor of breaking the kola. Okoye, meanwhile, took the lump of chalk and drew some lines on the floor and then painted his big toe. As he broke the kola, Onuka prayed to their ancestors for life and health and for the protection against their enemies. When they had eaten, they had talked about many things, about the heavy rains, which they were drowning the yams, about the next ancestral feast, about the impending war with the village of Mabaino. Onuka was never happy when it came to wars. He was, in fact, a coward and could not bear the sight of blood. And guess what? We have a caller, and the caller's name is... Jill, welcome to Art Focus. What would you like to tell me and our audience about today?
Well, I'd like to tell you about the Adult Soapbox Derby that's happening at Mount Tabor Park on August 20th. It's a longtime Portland event. This will be our 19th year. And if it goes next year, it will be the longest Adult Soapbox Derby running in the country.
Outstanding.
They're all handmade gravity racers. So in terms of art, you're going to have the gamut from beautifully crafted, fast, Gravity Racers to funny art cars. And it's quite a lot of makers are there, a lot of builders, a lot of artists in Portland.
Great. Jill, do you have a website where people can find more information? And where do people show up in order to participate or just observe?
Well, at this point, I think it's observation, but the website would be PDX Soapbox Derby. I guess probably .com.
Okay.
The event runs from 9:30 in the morning to 4:30 in the afternoon, something like this. And there may be volunteer opportunities still. They could just look on the website.
Great, great. Well, Jill, thank you so much for calling it and sharing what sounds to be a fun and exciting family-friendly event that's happening this week. You said August 20th, did you say yes?
Yeah, August 20th, next weekend.
August 20th at Mount Tabor Park. I'm sure there'll be signs and directions and arrows to point people in the right direction, but that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes, it's a well-attended event. Usually 8,000 to 10,000 people come to watch.
Oh, my.
And look for my car. It's called, my team is called Moist Lightning.
Moist Lightning. That sounds like Oregon to me. Moist Lightning.
There you go.
Jill,
thank you.
You're welcome. Take care, and thank you for calling into KBOO Art Focus. Well, I got to say, Janet, that was kind of fun. Wasn't it? That was pretty easy. Okay, Janet's not going to talk back to me. Okay, so once again, you just heard Jill calling about the Mount Tabor Handmade Soapbox Derby. Sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm sure there are other creative, fun events happening over the course of the next month. Please, please give me a call, 503-231-8187. This is Art Focus Radio.
And Andre, I just want to step in. This is Janet. I've been to that Soapbox Derby every year for like the last 9 years.
Uh-huh.
It's awesome. The art, just little art cars are so fun and creative.
Thank you, Janet. Look at it. I mean, you got testimonial from a 9-year veteran as in attendance of the Mount Tabor Soapbox Derby. While I was talking to Jill, it made me think about these are literally mini mobile maker spaces. I think I'm going to copyright that. Mini mobile maker spaces. That's right. So get on down to Mount Tabor on the 20th and look for the signs, and you'll be able to participate and observe the Mount Tabor Soapbox Derby. It's 19th year. Next year is going to be 20 years old. So it's not quite out of the teens yet. I'm sure next year is going to be huge, but so far working on 19. So let me get back to this book because I am riveted. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. As he broke the cola, Unuka prayed to their ancestors for life and health and for protection against their enemies. When they had eaten, they talked about many things. They talked about the heavy rains, which they were drowning the yams, and the next ancestral feast, and about the impending war with the village of Mabeno. Unuka was never happy when it came to war. He was, in fact, a coward and could not bear the sight of blood. And so he changed the subject and talked about music. And his face beamed. He could hear in his mind's ear the blood stirring and intricate rhythms of the Ekwa and the Udu and the Ojin. And he could hear his own flute weaving in and out of them, decorating them with a colorful and plaintive tune. The total effect was gay and brisk, but if one picked out the flute as it went up and down and then broke up into short snatches, one saw that there was sorrow and grief there. Okonye was also a musician. He played on the Ojinye, but he was not a failure like Unuka. He had a large barn full of yams, and he had 3 wives, and now he was going to take the Edimili title, the 3rd highest in the land. It was a very expensive ceremony, and he was gathering all of his resources together. That was, in fact, the reason why he had come to Unuka. He cleared his throat and began. Thank you for the cola. You may have heard of the title I intend to take shortly. Having spoken plainly so far, Okoye said that the next half a dozen sentences in Proverbs. Among the Ibu, the art of conversation is regarded very highly, and Proverbs are the palm oil in which the words are eaten. Okay was a great talker, and he spoke for a long time, skirting around the subject and then hitting it finally. In short, he was asking Unuka to return the 200 cowries he had borrowed from him more than 2 years ago. Ain't that something? Came back for the money he was owed. Well, you know, you're not going to owe a dime if you call in to share what you've got going on in the art world. That's right. You've got a gallery showing, you've got an event coming up, and you want more people to know about it? You can call into Art Focus right now, right now, right now. The phone number here is 503-231-8187. Now, I want to remind you, this is not a pledge drive. This isn't a pledge drive. I'm not asking you for money. I'm asking you for information. I'm asking you to share what things that you've got going on. Do you have a new show? You have something going on in the gallery? Do you have a meetup that's going to maybe draw something or paint something? Or is there something going on around town that you want more people to know about? Well, today's the day. Call it in. Share it. Once again, that phone number is 503-231-8187. Yes. So back to the story. So like I said, in short, he was asking Anoka to return the 200 dowries he had borrowed from him more than 2 years ago. As soon as Anoka understood what his friend was driving at, he burst out laughing. He laughed loud and long, and his voice rang out clear as the Ojini. The tears stood in his eyes. His visitor was amazed and sat speechless. At the end, Anoka was able to give an answer between fresh outbursts of mirth. "Look at that wall," he said, pointing at the far wall of his hut, which is rubbed with red earth so that it shone. "Look at those lines of chalk." Okoye saw groups of short perpendicular lines drawn in the chalk. There were five groups, and in the smallest group, they had 10 lines. Unuka had a sense of dramatic, so he allowed a pause, in which he took a pinch of snuff, sneezed noisily, and then he continued. "Each group there represents a debt to someone, and each stroke is 100 cowries. So you see, I owe that man 1,000 cowries, but he has not come to wake me up in the morning for it. I shall pay you, but not today. Our elders say that the sun will shine on those who stand before it, shines on those who kneel under them. I shall pay my big debts first." And then he took another pinch of snuff, as if that was paying his debts first. Okoye rolled his goat-skinned and departed. When Anoka died, he had taken no title at all, and he was heavily in debt. Any wonder, then, that his son Okonwa was ashamed of him? Fortunately, among these people, a man was judged according to his worth and not according to the worth of his father. Okonkwo clearly cut out for great things, and it was still young, but he had won fame as the greatest wrestler in the nine villages. He was a wealthy farmer and had two barns of yams and had just married his third wife. To crown it all, he had taken two titles and had shown incredible prowess in two intertribal wars. And so, although Okonkwo was still young, he was already one of the greatest men of his time. Age was represented amongst his people, but achievement was revered. As the elder said, if a child washed his hands, he could eat with kings. Okonkwo had clearly washed his hands, and so he ate with kings and elders. And that was how he came to look after the doomed lad who was sacrificed in the village of Umofia by their neighbors to avoid war and bloodshed. The ill-fated lad was called Ikimefuna. Once again, folks, I am looking forward to hearing someone calling in right now. That's right. Call in right now to the number 503-231-8187. This is your opportunity to tell me and the entire Art Focus KBOO listening audience about what you're doing regarding art. Do you have a show coming up? Do you have a gallery that you're in right now? Is there an event coming up like the Mount Tabor Derby that's going to be happening soon? We want to hear what's going on. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, it looks like someone's calling in right now. So just Carrie is calling in right now. Hey, Carrie, how are you doing today?
Oh, pretty good.
So what art event...
I just wanted to make it known to the people of the Portland area that at the Saturday Scappoose Farmers Market in beautiful downtown Scappoose, we host open mic sessions every Saturday from 9 to 2 for anybody who cares to show up and share their talents with us, whether they be troubadours, jugglers, musicians, magicians. 2 weeks ago, we had 10 belly dancers.
Wow, that must have been quite a sight to see. And here, they got all those bells and things, so I'm sure it was a sight for the ears, I mean, a sight for the eyes and tunes for the ears.
It's great. Free live music every week, a wide array of crafters and fresh produce and flowers.
So you said this is in Scappoose. So basically we are to take Highway 30 north past St. John's and Linton, right?
To Columbia County, if you please.
Outstanding. Columbia County. I'm writing that down. Sounds like a great event. And what time does this happen on Saturdays?
We open up at 9 and we go until 2 in the afternoon.
9 to 2 open mics at the Saturday Farmers Market in downtown Scappoose. Kerry, thank you so much for sharing that amazing information with us.
I'm glad you feel that way.
That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. Thank you, Kerry. Take care.
Peace, brother.
Peace. Well, wow, once again, a second event, a second call-in. I think we're on a record here, a second call-in. Hey, who's going to call in and make our third caller of the day? We've got about 4 minutes left on today's show. 4 minutes. I'm over at 12 o'clock. So you got about 4 minutes to call in. Come on, somebody give me a call. Share some news. Share some art news. This is summertime. There must be screenings happening around town. There must be concerts happening around town. Portland is a creative town. Don't let anybody tell you different. Portland is a creative town. Well, you all probably already knew that. But thank you for listening to KBOO Art Focus for the people who called in today. I want to thank Jill and I want to thank Kerry. But there's still 4 minutes left. So I'm going to give out the number one more time. The number, once again, is 503-231-8187 to call me, your host, Andre Middleton, here on Art Focus Radio, only on KBOO. So right now, oh, look, the phones are ringing. I was about to pick up the book again, but looks like the phones are ringing. So we're going to wait just a moment. I'm going to talk a little bit while Janet screens the call. I have to thank Janet, our engineer, so much. I started this show with Joseph Galvan about maybe almost a year ago. Oh, my God, almost a year ago. And Janet has held my hand. I've got Ben on the line. Ben, how's it doing? How's it going?
Hey, Andre. It's doing all right. How are you?
Oh, this is my friend Ben Pop. What's up, Ben? So, Ben, what art news you got that you want to share with the KBOO audience?
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow night, we're doing a Northwest tracking program for Julia Oldham, a Northwest filmmaker, and she's going to program a whole bunch of her really wonderful films.
Outstanding. And where can people see this? Where is this happening at?
It's happening down at the Witzel Auditorium.
Witzel Auditorium. That's right in the park blocks, isn't it?
Yeah, in the museum there.
In the basement of the museum.
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding. Oh, I have to admit, I really, really enjoy that theater. It's warm. It's woody. They usually have events happening outside. That's a cool spot.
Yeah, it's a great spot, and her films are incredible. So, yeah.
Do you happen to have any names of any of her films on hand?
Yeah, well, the name of the program is called Chasing the Wild Boar.
Ooh, Chasing the Wild Boar.
Right. Sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah, it does sound pretty amazing.
And, yeah, some of her films are... Actually, I should have thought of that beforehand.
Oh, when you call our focus, you got to come correct.
I know. Well, you got The Bear Wife.
Okay.
You got Mud Lair.
Ooh.
Winter Is When I Love.
Ooh.
Captured Yeti. That's going to be a great one.
Great. Ben, thank you so much. Wrap it up real quick. So what's happening tomorrow night at the Witzel Auditorium?
We got a Northwest Tracking Program as part of the Northwest Film Centers. It's a Chasing the Wild Boar. Film is by Julia Oldham.
Outstanding. And folks, if you want more information about this, please go visit the Northwest Film Center website at
nwfilm.org.
nwfilm.org. Ben, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, Andre. Take care.
Take it easy. Peace. Wasn't that easy? Look how easy that was. I got Ben from the Northwest Film Center giving us a call, telling us about Julia Oldman's Tracking Festival happening at the Northwest Film Center. Go, please visit their website. Northwest, W, NWF.org, Northwest Film Center. So once again, the phone number to call is 503-231-8187. If you know me, if you're a friend, you got a minute left, and then we're going to have to go away. That's right, a minute left, and it's just about noon. We got to do a little soft rollout. In fact, I got to call it now because I got some things I got to say. So once again, thank you for everybody that called. When the clock on the wall tells me that we're getting close to the end of our allotted time, I want to thank all the folks that called in and made this show possible. You can find photos, links, as well as all the guest info on our show page at KBOOFM/ArtFocus. Please follow the link to Facebook as well. Thank you for everybody that called in. Hope to see you guys in a couple of more weeks. But next week, we got Joseph Galavan rocking the mic here on Art Focus Radio. Take care and peace.
KBOO's programming. But did you know you can help inform decisions about new programs on KBOO? Support evaluating shows to ensure programming excellence, as well as help process feedback about shows from our listeners. Well, you can when you join the KBOO Programming Advisory Committee. All you need to be is a KBOO member. Attend monthly meetings on the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. at KBOO, and commit 5 hours a month to work on committee